Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode number 23, The Politician. Today is Friday, November 2nd, 2007. Here's Dove. Welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 23, The Politician. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis. The audio comment line is available, and that number is 1-715-808-0318. You can send your comments, questions, and suggestions to janine@pastorpaul.org. Comments are live at the blog, www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. And visit us at www.pastorpaul.org to find out more about Pastor Paul's mission. Pastor Paul's mission is a not-for-profit organization, and we provide food, love, and dignity to people in need. You can make a U.S. tax-deductible donation on the homepage. And special links referred to in the Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 23, The Politician, will be located in the show notes at the blog. You can download the episode as well as subscribe to the episode at the blog. Today's message, The Politician, was originally recorded September of 1989. It runs a little over an hour and 15 minutes. A few things about the message. It takes place in Jerusalem. It describes the political environment at the time prior to Christ's arrest. It talks about political relationships, about politics in government, in business, the manipulation of crowds, about the influence of money in politics. It's an all-round excellent message. Pastor Paul talks about how we are all politicians. Some of the questions we might ask, what's best for me? So without further ado, I'm going right into the message. Here it is, Pastor Paul's message, The Politician.
Today's message is entitled, The Politician. Last week in our talk about people, about the cross, we ministered from Luke 23 and 28. Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Jesus was trying to convey to them that it's a little late now. Why are you weeping now while I'm carrying the cross? And don't weep for me because, see, I want to do this. I mean, don't pity me because pity belongs to you and yours. And I said, if this ministry or ministries like this were caused to fail or pull back in some measure, I wonder how many people would be weeping way too late. Now today, let's look at another face about the cross, Aeneas. John 18 and 13, to Aeneas first. I would have to say, of all the faces that we see about the cross, his is the most sinister. Then again, will we find ourselves in some way in this rude character? Well, we'll see. Which one do you find the most sinister of all the faces about the cross? The ones we've been ministering about for the last 6-7 weeks. On whose shoulders, above all others, rests the responsibility for this supreme crime? Whose hands are the most blood-soaked? Whose garments are the most blood-bespeckled? Who would you say is the most guilty for this heinous crime? Now, that's not going to be an easy thing to assess. Who played the biggest part? Who's the guiltiest? And we do that all the time, don't we? Someone's guiltier than I am. They started it. We start that when we're little kids and we work it right on through our whole lives. But I mean, can anyone possibly speak with dogmatic certainty about that? But you know, I believe we can. I think we can be assured of the group that was most responsible. The instigators of the whole thing, and there's always instigators to any crime. The perpetrators. And I think also we'll see an individual today in that group that really is, I believe, the guiltiest. Who is he? Well, he wasn't one of the thoughtless crowd that surged Jesus, like we said, that yelled themselves hoarse when offered a choice between Jesus the Christ and Jesus Barabbas. The crowd screamed out, "Free Barabbas! Free Barabbas!" Also, it was the crowd, you remember, in that last message some time back, when Pilate said, "I am innocent of the blood of this righteous man," the crowd shouted back, "His blood be upon us and upon our children. Hey, we'll take the blame for all this. Don't worry about it. Get on with it. Crucify him." I mean, their guilt is awful, the crowd's guilt. But then again, who instigated and who caused the crowd to have so much hatred? Who designed it? Who is the force and who is the drive? I think the crowd was merely pawns, pushed about, let's say, by cunning and bloody hands of others. That happens all the time, doesn't it? Then again, we said that Pilate played a shameful part in the death of Jesus. Here was a judge who said he's not guilty, but have your own way, people. He halted between two opinions, and we saw ourselves in him in some ways. He was saying he's guilty even if he is innocent. You know why? Because you're so demanding, you're so loud. So take him, I guess. I don't know. Let's get it over, that kind of attitude. And he did all this with his eyes wide open, against his own strong and clear convictions. And I said, with that character, how many see themselves right there? Sometime in your life, some act where you could have done something, but you turned your head and you made a decision to please the crowd. You didn't stand up and be counted. Well, he didn't, because he was a mixture of rascal and coward, we said. And yet, this is not the supreme guilt. I mean, all of us, sometime or another in our lives, are guilty of wimpyism. Aren't we? Or of not saying anything. Like the daughters of Jerusalem, till it was too late. Well, Jesus said as much himself, "He that has delivered me unto you," now he said this to Pilate, "is more guiltier than you are." He was talking to Pilate. I mean, the supremely guilty man then was not this man that bowed before the God of noise, talking about Pilate again. Well, you might say Judas. He was pretty sneaky, don't you know? But you see, you are mistaken. Judas could never have set that up by himself to betray Jesus, even though he did betray him with a kiss. Who told him to do that? Who was the director and who produced this thing? Who was the author of this terrible kiss? And yet there is one guiltier than he. I'm talking about the one that set the scene. The one who was the producer and the director and the acting coach. Well, I repeat, who is this man? Now, I said there is no question as to the most guilty group. Of course, it was the high priest and their crowd. But who was the prime mover, the hustler, the mover of this group? The spark plug? None other than Ananias. He had Jesus arrested on that Thursday night. And it was to his house that Jesus was first brought. And by the way, tried right there. And then this crafty priest delivered Jesus to Pilate. And so today let's try to catch a glimpse of his manipulation in every part of this tragedy. Well, I even believe he bribed Judas. Told him, "Hey, you'll even get a few coins out of this deal." Judas probably being flattered by this powerful man, sort of halted between two opinions and then took his course. And so Ananias gave instructions on crowd manipulations, I believe. He made Pilate sweat and squirm. Possibly he was the one that shouted that fateful word there, that word that brought it all to a halt. If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Or maybe he, with his cloak on, standing out there, whispered these words to one of his cronies. Well, I'll tell you, folks, when things go down, there are folks behind the scene. There is a terrible spirit behind the scene, and you're seeing that in our United States and around our world right now. Perpetrators, people behind the scene, pushers and movers and hustlers. They're out there, believe me. And so maybe he had someone else say it. Maybe he said it himself. If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Now I wondered in our society how many politicians use this manipulating of people to bring other people down. God, we've seen a fair share of it, haven't we? Look at the last election. Look at the scheming and the conniving and the undercover and the going back and digging out and digging up. And people were politically ruined. And I wonder, while I was watching that whole scene while it was going on, man, are you sure that you want such people to govern you? And still, and yet, it's the best government in the whole world. But I started to wonder, where is this going to go? When there is no loyalty, when there is no pity, when there is no mercy, when there are no holds barred. How far have we gone? I don't care how guilty a person is. There's got to be an end to it. I wonder how many of the women watching right now would be able to take the place of Tammy Baker. I mean, I think there ought to be a law about people talking about somebody's looks for, 3 years. God, it's a wonder she has any kind of looks at all. Come on, folks. And you don't see a whole lot of people going to anybody's defense nowadays because, hey, it could be risky. My God, somebody's got to take a stand sometime. Don't you think it's time to take a stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ and stand up and be counted? But anyway, I'm sure above all others that Aeneas brought about the death of Jesus. Well, who was he? He was a shrewd and I believe a highly successful politician. Now, I hear you use this word politician in its very worst sense. Politician, don't you know, is a man whose supreme passion is to win and hold that office above all other things at all costs. You could spend millions of dollars to get into that power position. Then after once that we're in office, let's say we're. But this big politician, once he's in office, his big question is how to stay there. How many favors do I owe? How many new ones must I do? Who should I target for votes? Now, being down here and being involved in the north side in Minneapolis, in some cases nationally. Yeah, this little ministry here where you see these few people nationally. I have come to believe that we are not represented. Are you hearing this? And that among our own people, we misuse one another with our silence, with our behind the scene, with our manipulation of one another. And I think someone ought to say right now, stop. Stop being political, and let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Now, he may have believed in starting that this politician may believe in starting very strongly, I might add, that I'm the best man for the job. I mean, you say it so much, pretty soon you believe it yourself. I believe in rights. No, he's got some kind of thing they believe in. I believe in air. Well, you better because you got to breathe it. I believe in water. I believe in life. Now, how do I juggle all those real skillfully so I don't get in a jam and lose a few votes? and in some sense, we're all politicians, aren't we? What's best for me? How am I going to come out on this thing? And how do I maintain control? God, one thing we hate to give up, and that's control. By not giving it up, we are out of control. But anyway, on the surface, this politician is a self-forgetful friend of the people. My friends. I've come to believe as far as I'm concerned anyway, the people have very few friends. And they have a whole lot of manipulators and baby kissers. Isn't it strange? when someone will stand up for a group. A lot of times they're just a manipulator. Make it good for themselves. Then when they get into that position, what good are they? Those two are politicians, and I don't care if they don't call themselves politicians. There's a whole lot of politicking going on all over, and I'm talking about in schools and shops and governments and all over. Everybody seems like coming to being a politician. My friends. Well, don't you see behind the scenes he is a friend only to himself and to his group? I mean, the only real platform many politicians have is the one they campaign on. And when that's over, then it's torn down. That's it. Where's your platform that you're talking about? Oh, they tore it down. I just had a whole lot of words on while I was on the platform. They tore that down. That's past. You ever realize how much time is spent in staying in office? You know, no sooner get in and spend 90 days this and 120 days that and 50 days here and there and a few news conferences and so on, you got to start getting ready to be reelected. And you have to start gathering together groups and people and manipulating and carrying on, so you don't have time for the people. You're too busy. Hey, don't bother me now. I'm running. Oh, God. And you know what about him? This very shrewd schemer at this time was 70 years old. Now, we resent him all the more when he's that old, don't we? You think he would have mellowed somehow. I mean, give us a little room to breathe, will you? You think he would have stopped grabbing and started praying. I remember years ago when they had a film segment, and this was before they got real nasty outwardly, and that was probably 20 years ago, and they showed this billionaire, and he went to work with a brown sack. He had a sandwich in there and an apple. Was he just wanting to be, and his thing was, I'm just plain folks. Oh, he was a politician for sure, wasn't he? He was fatter than a horse. He wasn't eating them brown bags too much. I mean, he come on now. He got in there. I bet the garbage man picked up 30 of those every month. Huh? Probably had a pet dog or alligator or something he threw it to. Come on. Just all act. The whole thing is an act. You can go before people a lot of times and they'll put on an act. And they'll smile and the tears will come to their eyes and they'll, oh, praise God, praise the Lord, and they'll carry on. It doesn't mean a thing. Come on, folks. But you think he would have stopped grabbing and started praying? I mean, man, 70 years old. You'd think he'd have more wisdom by then. But you know, his greed still exceeds his need. You never get enough. You can start to accumulate things and you'll never have enough. Be content. Whatsoever state you're in, be content. You got a roof over your head, you got plenty to eat, and you got some nice clothes, and you got a car that starts in the morning, be content. Have you got your health? Lori and Paul, you're new in your marriage. You got a lot to be content with. Unless you make yourself a malcontent. I mean, you have a lot to be thankful for. You're not, in an iron lung. You're not in prison. Think about it, being in jail. I mean, it's bad enough being in a whole house with Paul. How'd you like to be in a 9x9 cell with him? Come on now. Huh? You don't mind if I use you, do you? How about being content with a little? You want to have a nervous breakdown? I mean, such crafty old men. These old men have to be feared. They get mean, folks. Look at China. Look at China. Look at the old leaders in China, Dad. Ran right over those folks. God knows how many thousands went down. We only got a peek through the bamboo curtain. We didn't see the whole scene. We don't know what's going on right now. The purging that's going on right now. Or any of the world's crafty old leaders. Not just China. One good thing about new blood. New people, when they come in, they don't know all the tricks yet. It takes them a little time to catch on to some of the nasties. So you get a little breather there, you know what you know? Things are kind of quiet. Oh, God. Well, probably he wasn't always that way. He probably was a nice little young guy, and his folks brought him up religiously and taught him a lot of good things, and things were pretty nice with him. And finally, anyway, somehow he became high priest. And you know what came with that? Power. Sometimes, folks, when you give folks power, they're dangerous. That can happen even in the lowliest of jobs. You can say, I'm putting you over these three people here. They're getting, $4.25 an hour. You're going to get $4.50 an hour. And that power goes to their head. Isn't that right, Lori? You ever seen that? All of a sudden, they become meaner than hell itself. Well, anyway, how did he use this power? He used it to graft and to gain more power until he came under suspicion from Rome. And they had to dismiss him, I think, because he was getting too much of the pie, too big a piece out of the pie, too big of the payoff out of the mafia situation there. And so they dismissed him. Well, then what? Poor fellow. Why, he did like any other shrewd politician has done down through the centuries. He ruled from behind the scene. Sometimes parents do that, don't they? Don't we? Rule from behind the scene. Huh? Sometimes grandparents do that. Rule from behind the scene. Sometimes Mr. Goody Two-Shoes sitting in church and giving $14.17 a month more than anybody else in the charge. Maybe he rules from behind the scene and makes it mean. Huh? Now I hope some churches get this tape. Because I think in the churches there are a whole lot of people behind the scenes that actually run the body of Christ. They've got to be. Has evolved into about the most heartless group I have ever seen in the whole of my life. Flying hither and thither and yon to all countries and using the scriptures as a tool. Well, go to the highways and byways and to all the world. So what if your husband has to eat TV dinners? Or what's left over of your Weight Watcher gourmet foods? Huh? God, I hope this hits a nerve. But he ruled from behind the scene. I wonder how many people in governments rule from behind the scene. A whole lot of them. There's the biggies that pull the strings on the puppets. When it's time to dance, they pull them strings. When it's time to lay down, they let them go. Well, how did he work this thing? Well, he had five sons, and one by one over a period of time, one by one he made them priests. Ain't that smart? Next, he chose his son-in-law, Caiaphas. He put him in charge also. So, hey, he had a nice little group in there. Would you call this sort of political? God, I would. Well, how do you do it? Money. Money talks, folks. Doesn't it? How many know that money talks? Now, you can take a picture of George Washington on there. If you look real close, his lips will move. Jefferson and the whole world. Money talks. Doesn't it? It gives you something to think about, doesn't it? So what's talking? While you're thinking, the money's talking to you. That's what it means, money talks. There's a possibility of you coming out of this on top. By tomorrow at this time, you could be a millionaire. I mean, it's 99% sure that money's going to talk to you all night long. I'll be talking to you too. Now, you got to have a little humor in these messages, otherwise it's just people that fall down the floor, froth at the mouth, and die. Doesn't it? But doesn't money talk? Oh, you bet. I've seen times in my life when a nickel talks. But he did it by money. Well, money bought power then, and it buys it right now. Well, you mean people are actually bought? You bet. You buy them. When it takes so much money to put a person in a position, then that person's in a position where he can't say too much. He has to check out who put him in that position, doesn't he? How many are hearing this message today? Three of you. Great. Okay, well, that's enough. Well, one might say that while he was in power, he saved for a rainy day. He was smart, shrewd. The only trouble was he was using other people's rainy day money. He sold all the doves and all the animals from the sacrifices, and then when the Jewish people from other areas came in and they didn't have the same money, then he would change it into their money, Jerusalem money, and then he could scam them for as much as the market would bear, don't you know? And he did a good job at it, too. And so he was into graft. He was, I believe, a modern man in all way ahead of his time. Of course, man has always been the same when it comes to turning the dollar, hasn't he? Shrewd, mean, calculating. Let me tell you something, folks. When it comes down to a dollar, if it came between $1 million and somebody dying, that person would have been dead a long time ago. And so while he was part of a conquered people, he was at the very best of terms with the Romans. He had their protection. And so he could be as greedy and grasping and as cruel and, well, because he was protected. He could do all this to his own people in the safety of belonging to the power structure. But why was Aeneas so eager to destroy Jesus? What's that got to do with it all? You know why? Because Jesus was a threat to himself and to his interests. When you see somebody downplaying somebody, I'll tell you what, it's because it might hurt them financially somehow. I also think that it was the nature of things that Jesus and Aeneas should clash. I mean, we're talking about darkness and light. Well, they can't exist together, can they? But anyway, he was shrewd enough to know that the reign of such rascals as himself is made possible, I mean, as a rule anyway, by the indifference and by the cowardice of the good. No, there's a lot of good folks out there, but they're cowards. Or they're indifferent. And they know there should be change, and they know that, and they're good people, but they're indifferent to it. But I don't want to be involved with it. But I should say something, but it's no use. That type of person. And then again, the money grabbers of the bad. He was shrewd enough to know that you could use both of those sides. Because people don't do anything. You can just about do what you want to it, folks. They won't do anything. They won't get out and vote. So he knew that. So, well, they ain't going to do anything anyway, man. They just come so lazy, they can't even get out of bed. Yeah. I never seen one of them down there at the marketplace, down there at the temple, down there, you know, trying to buy some of these birds like these other people. Oh, look, they come from miles and miles around to get these birds and these, you know, fatted calves and things like that. Well, hey, I mean, so I'm not going to worry about them over there. I got to take care of these money grabbers. I'll take care of my own little select group here. Now, that way I'll stay empowered, don't you know? And then there is those who always indignantly say, something ought to be done about this. Something ought to be done about Aeneas. Something should be done about that man. What a crook. What a rat. Well, I'm going to ask you, why don't you do something then? Well, I'm afraid it might hurt my business. How many are afraid to do something because it might hurt their business? How many? No, I don't want it. It could hurt. It could be bad for me. It could hurt my business. I mean, well, in other words, I'm too busy. I've never seen so many busy people in my life. They are busy, 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 and they're busy doing nothing. Huh? Hurry, 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 scurry, scurry, worry, worry, hurry, hurry, scurry, worry, worry, huh? They ain't got a minute extra. I just don't have a minute of time extra. I'm so sorry. I'm so besieged with things to do. About the only cure for a person like that is when they drop dead. Help everybody out. Is there no earthly good? None whatsoever. Say amen, somebody. I'm glad I said it. Said it, and I'm glad. Drop dead. It's true, isn't it? But anyway, meanwhile, the money grabbers keep this man in business. He's got our vote, you bet. The economy is great right now. Things are on the uprise. The dollar's more powerful than it's ever been. Almost too powerful here on the TV tube. I mean, the economy is great. Interest rates are down to 9%. Too bad you can't get a loan. You won't be able to get a loan till they're up around 11 point something or other, 12 or 15. Okay, let the money go. Okay, bank's open. Come on in. Now you can get a loan. Huh? About the only thing you want to buy right now with a mushy market is a new house. You ain't going to be buying one of them old houses because there's too many manipulations of money, right? Is that right, Lish? There's manipulations of money. I mean, they manipulate the money. Well, you know, escalating thing. Well, if it goes up, well, then that goes up. Huh? It's true, isn't it? People are manipulated by the money market, by the politician. How many know you're manipulated by money? Yeah? You bet. You're manipulated. You want to stay warm? That's manipulation. You want to have water? You don't want the water to go off, do you? Pay that bill. Huh? How many know there's crowd manipulation going on and there's a little bit of love going on? Not so much as you'd hardly even notice it. Well, how do we get our way out of this thing? I mean, the politician's going to... I mean, it's such a mess. Well, it took 30-some years to make it a mess. You allowed, like, the spook people, Dr. Spock, Dr. Spook, and those people, just let them go their own way, the children, and they can peanut butter and jam the wall. Look at that artistic... It's just, don't touch him. He's showing his art potential. And they let people be the same way. Oh, he's taking drugs. Oh, Johnny's just experimenting. His eyes will go back to normal. They're crossed now, but I'm sure they'll come back to normal. Huh? And they all the way, and now they allow people just kind of go their own way. And what do we got now? A whole bunch of misfit babies. A lot of people that can't make it because nobody cared enough to show them the way. So what are we going to have to do, Pastor? What is the answer? The answer to this is if you have a whole lost generation, you're going to have to feed and clothe and baby them all the way through until they die out there in a desert situation like out there in a desert out there, and we're going way back to Moses now, way back there, and you're going to have to take all these little ones and bring them up, right? Or you ain't going to have nothing to fight over. Do you know how much money it would cost to try to recapture all of these lives? And you know the only way it's going to happen is if the church gets out there, but the church is too lazy to get out there. A wonderful opportunity is right now, but they're too busy politicking. When they take away all the drugs and they lock up all the people, like I said a couple of weeks ago, be a wonderful opportunity for the church to start with some money, some clothes, and with a design and with a plan. But gone fishing, hang a sign upon your door. Gone fishing. Oh, God. Huh? What a wonderful opportunity! We got the answer. What are we going to do with it? You going to prophesy over someone? Huh? You just set these little young ones down the chair and prophesy over them? You are a walking, talking epistle. You are a prophet. You are the example. You are the miracle for these people. You are the role model for those people. Why don't you use some of those expertise, huh? But then again, we have Jesus. He was neither greedy. He wasn't a money grabber. Nor was he afraid. Even Jesus rebuked Aeneas, I think, in a twofold fashion here. Number one, by the kind of man he was. I mean, when a man like Aeneas, and a religious leader, a high priest, stands next to the prophet of God, God himself, don't you think that light is going to reveal something about his own character? I mean, that'd be uncomfortable, wouldn't it? Well, they were both religious men, someone says. Both claimed to be servants of the people. But yeah, but anybody could see the great difference, don't you see? Jesus gave the word, and he stood by the word, the Bible says, to perform it. He gave his life. And on the other hand, Aeneas was a taker. He gave other people's lives. I mean, next to Jesus, people could see that he was rotten. I mean, that's a real threat to folks. When you take a person that's, you know, doing good, and that someone over here is doing rotten, you get them right next to you, it shows up. I mean, their words, if they have no actions behind them, and they're standing next to somebody that's got a lot of action behind their words, it makes it mighty uncomfortable. And I think the body of Christ should make it very uncomfortable, not by inciting riots, not by marching around the last temptations of Jesus, not by going out and fighting over the abortion issue, not by machine gunning down all the 7-Eleven stores, no! But by being an example. But by not wasting their energies, but allowing people some alternative before they ask them to get off of what they're on. They've got to offer them an alternative, and that's Jesus in action, not in word, not in rote, not in flannel boards. Now you can see how rotten he was. I mean, this old man here, I mean, he was an old word warrior. Nasty. Most old word warriors, if they are legal, and especially if they are in, like the high priest here, and they are legal and they're in business, they can turn that word around. They can make it so hurtful and so nasty and give it out there, but not lift one finger to help anybody else, the Bible says. Lay burdens upon their shoulders and won't lift one finger to help them. I mean, he was unpopular at best, but, you know, standing next to Jesus, I mean, he could not fail to increase his unpopularity. I mean, this Scunger knew the handwriting was on the wall. Here comes a man, Jesus Christ, God, and he starts performing miracles all over and feeding people and making sense and talking out there and speaking out, "You vipers!" That might have caused some of them high priests to look around, because see, they knew what they were. And standing next to the light of God, standing next to all truth, when that power of the Holy Spirit was on that anointed word, of course. Don't you think that made them kind of want to tremble? Looking around, see if anybody took a hold of that? Whoa, huh? Well, you know what? The Bible says it made him envious. I think it made him another thing, fearful. So he knew, I've got to put this man out of the way before people get guts, before they start calling me a viper. They're so ignorant, don't you know? If a leader comes along and he's stringent and he's strong and he's powerful and he's anointed and he starts saying it like it is, man, we got to bury this character. We got to get rid of him. Because maybe then the populace, the people we're getting all of our scam money off of and taking advantage of, maybe they'll say, yeah, hey, you are a viper. You know, these people can be mean, you know, he says. What if they should turn on me? Hey, I got to do something here. I'm going to burn the midnight oil here. Let's get together. Let's talk about this thing. Let's devise a plan here. Let's cause this situation here to fall. You know how people are, he tells his nasty group. Oh, they can be mean. Remember how we turned them on last time? Oh, wow. I'm glad we weren't the receivers, huh? Huh? How much world manipulation is going on right now? Now, what an opportunity we have right now in the middle of all this. And even his friends, let's face it, I think he was more afraid of his inner group, his friends. Because I'll tell you something, if these people out there, the group, the ordinary person out there, the peons out there, if they would have received the truth and turned on him, do you think his friends would have been with him? Do you think his son-in-law would have been with him, or his sons, any of them? They turn on, man, they'd be right back here. Huh? Yeah, I guess you're right. Guess you're right. Wow, yeah, that's true. That's true. I never thought of it that way. Oh, yeah, well, we were fooled. We were fooled. Golly, it was a good thing we got out of it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, gee, wow. Huh? Wonder how many people that join in on all these scams and things you're seeing on TV that were in the inner circle, even if they were out there and they got a fair share of it, maybe 50,000 or so, something like that, some small amount, don't you know, huh? That they just turn on people right away, huh? How many businesses, when they go down, all of a sudden the inner circle turns on, yeah, well, that's the way it goes. I mean, he was too old for the game, I guess, too old to cut the mustard, yeah, huh? Let me tell you something, there ain't a whole lot of loyalty in this world. Say amen, somebody. You don't even know about yourself sometimes. How loyal are you? Are you? Well, yeah, well, come on. Pilate, the Bible says, knew that for envy they had delivered him. The Bible states that. He envied him. I mean, he's 70 years old. He's done all of these things to folks. He's probably thinking, well, maybe I could have been something like that. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. But then again, maybe it was just a little hard. He doesn't even have a place to rest his head. What kind of a deal is that? I mean, you know, I played it smart, and he was kind of caught in between these things. But he envied him. Well, Jesus not only rebuked Aeneas for what he was, he openly rebuked him for what he did. One day, it says that Jesus went into the temple. When he got inside there, he was standing next to an opening, a partition there, and there was a cord there, and there was three strands there, and he was watching all the money changers. He's watching all the people in there, and he's watching all, five will get you 10 times. Who'll give me a dollar for this one? Going once, going twice, sold. And they were in the inner courts, and they were selling all this garbage. And Jesus was watching all this, and he tore down the courts, and nobody even noticed him. They were too busy with all their gambling and shouting and carrying on and selling in the temple. And they start to weave these cords together. And he starts to weave them together and tighten them and pull them and weave them and tighten them and pull them. Finally, the Bible says he jumps up and he says, it is written, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a robber's cave, a flea market, a hot goods store, a Mideast pawn shop. And he starts to whip and beat him and carry him out of there, and with great authority, and it brought fear down upon him. Whoa, we got to tell you what happened. This man is dangerous. Them people were running. Their tennis shoes were smoking, making it on down the road. We got to do something for these people, get some guts. They ain't liable to go for a personality like this. Whoa, I don't know. There's something about this man. It'll be the end of me if I don't get... Hey, we got to do something. We got to do it right now. What time is it? Well, it's Thursday. What's the date? Well, hey, it's 2,000, 2,000 years ago. Well, I think let me cool it down here a little bit. The supreme offense of Jesus was not against the reputation of Aeneas. I don't believe that. Because he didn't have one to lose. No, he didn't have anything to lose. He didn't have anything, and he knew it. The only thing that held his gig together was money and fear No, I think his big offense was that he was a threat to the privilege that Aeneas was enjoying. You start monkeying with a man's privilege. I mean, pretty soon you rob people for 30 or 40 or 50 years. You take it as a privilege. And a human being, I think that that men are seldom willing to surrender such a privilege. And I don't care what it is, scamming the poor people, it doesn't matter. I mean, they have a scam privilege. They think they have cornered the market, and I don't care how crooked it is. If they go at it for a long time, they think this is the way to do it. So it's pretty hard to take the scam away from a man that's had the scam privileges for 30 or 40 or 50 years and been getting away with it. He thinks pretty soon that he is God. Nobody's going to monkey with my scam. Now, I have a perfect right to this. I've been doing it for 50 years. What's the squawk now? Look at South America. Look at Noriega. He thinks he's perfectly right. Been doing it for years. Look at the drug lords. They have been doing it for years. What's the big beef now? What's the big beef? I mean, it wasn't too long ago. They were making fun of it on TV a couple years ago. People taking a straw and sticking it up their nose and razor blading over a little pile of powder and snorting it up. Made a joke out of it. People sitting around smoking dope, and we allowed all that. It is kind of funny, ain't it? It is. We allowed it. Isn't that true? We allowed the kids to smoke, and so then they smoked. And the next thing they went for is marijuana, and the next kick was the hash, and the next trip was some kind of barbiturates, and the next thing was powder, and so on like that. Now all of a sudden we're alarmed. And they're looking at that and they say, hey, we've been doing this for years. You're not going to stop us now. And they'll actually go out and shoot their own government down there just to prove that they think they're so right. They've been not taking payoffs for years. Okay, that's the end of you, huh? No, this situation isn't going to be solved by people being laid back and being quiet. They're going to be noisy. They got to say, well, I don't care what they did then. They ain't going to do it now. You will not do it in this neighborhood. You will not bust bottles all over the schoolyard. You will not do it. Okay? And we're going to offer you an alternative. We're going to offer you a job. We're going to offer you a house. I don't know what the thing is with the drugs here. I don't know if we have to take everybody to an island where they go through a school, an island. Island school where you take everybody and they got to come off of their thing. And you put them on an island and you build a city there and you just bring them up in there and to recoup these people that have, they're out there. But worst of it is to think of all the babies that are out there. Come on now. Think of all the babies that are out there in all of these households. Who's going to do something with them? Because we, the church, the body of Christ, and a whole lot of lazy people, some people spend more time trying to get out of work than doing the work itself. Who's going to stop them? You are. Mr. John Doe and Mary, what do they call Mary? Don't they have a Doe? Mary Doe? Is there a Mary? Huh? I don't know. Huh? Mary Doe. John and Mary Doe. You are. Well, nobody else is going to do it. Are they? I mean, your rewards are in heaven. What more do you want? You listening to me now? Your rewards are in heaven. What a privilege! And they sing that song. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, I need me a new Cadillac and a house. Oh, don't you see? I have taken the seed faith message seriously for me to you in prayer. Let me have it, Lord. Get ready for the biggest cream pie you ever seen in your life. What a joke. What a damnable joke has been played on the people over the last 20 years through the charismatic movement. And they've named that one right, movement. Say amen, somebody. It's the truth. Nobody cares anymore. They're so far removed. Look at Marcos. They actually think it's right. They've been doing it so long that the wife has shoes to fill up this whole church. God, wouldn't that drive you crazy? I have a hard time when I got two pair of shoes. Should I wear the brown ones? Or should I wear the black ones? Well, the black one's got a heel off and the brown one's got a hole in the sole. It isn't a hard choice to make. I take one brown one and one black one. They actually think it's right. Don't you understand? This is a battle. Listen now. You've got spoiled kids, and then after a time, after 20 years, you try to change those children. Hey! Just slap you up alongside of your head. I mean, it's put on your football padding and everything. Come on. It's not going to heal itself. It's a mess. But then the gospel is more powerful than any two-edged sword, isn't it? Hey, it can do the job. It can take a drunk off of the bar stool, and it can turn him around, and it can change him. Hallelujah. Don't be saying that something happened to you while you were in your mother's womb or that this happened. Now, you people out there, don't blame everything onto your folks. Hey, it's become a way of life, hasn't it? Isn't it a way of life? What do you call this life? But isn't it a way of life to just be disconnected from everybody else and only our own little select group? Isn't it? I mean, we aren't we clannish? I mean, we have our own little tight little group. What was the outcome of this election, this Jerusalem politics between Jesus and Aeneas? Aeneas won by a landslide. And he sent Jesus, the Bible said, to the cross. But you know, it was such an easy victory. He only then put his foot more firmly on the road to disaster. Having won again, he thought, well, you know what? I can reverse the laws of nature anytime. He became a sort of a god. And the Bible says a few days later, down the line, he died. Time's up, Aeneas. And so, you know, the old grim reaper's going to say that to us all. Time's up. No, I'm sorry. You got to go out naked, pal. You can't take nothing with you. Let's go. Right? You can't take anything with you. Think about that. Anyway, how awful to to murder the Prince of Life and then go home like nothing had happened, feeling like he had done God and man a service. Sometimes people do that. They think, well, I did God a service. I made sure that thing went down. Praise the Lord. Huh? Let me tell you, folks, there are a whole lot of insane people out there, and a lot of them are in the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. It's about time that, that went down. Or the same as it was then. Huh? Ooh, let me close this. See, he didn't go down by himself. That's the sad part of this story. His life, I believe, was bound together in sort of a bundle of life with others, even as ours is. Our actions cause a whole lot of reactions. Don't make waves. He had tainted the nation. He made his religion ugly and hateful. He destroyed patriotism by blasting the very fundamental integrities of the people. I think there is no deadlier foe to all that we hold so dear than politicians, such as Aeneas. They can do so much harm. But then again, now let him that is not guilty in any little way, in the same fashion as this man of long ago, you throw the first stone against this public enemy of long ago. By the way, what are we doing? What are we doing? I guess the question is, will we be manipulated because of circumstances? And listen, circumstances are going to come your way in the end time that are almost unbearable. But are you going to be like that crowd? I started thinking about it a few years ago, and I thought, life is determined perhaps more by reactions than it is actions. Because, life comes to you without your acting. I mean, these situations, and you'll find that in your marriage, and you'll find that, Jim, and you'll find that people out there, all of you listening on the radio, this tape. Life comes to you without your acting. It just comes. It forces situations on you without your asking or acting. And so then it's the reaction that counts, isn't it? You can react in self-pity and frustration, or you can react in confidence and courage. Can you hear me now? Your good in a given situation can overcome all the evil in that situation if you'll only stand, having done all, stand. So remember that your reaction to what happens to you determines also the result of that situation. It says in the Bible that Jesus had planned for a little quiet and he went off to be all by himself. And it says that the crowds broke in upon his quiet. And it says also in Luke 9:11, and he welcomed them. Are you willing to let interruptions come into your life, into your plans? Well, we plan to do this, and we plan to do that, and we plan. Are you willing? Because there's going to be a whole lot of interruptions happen when we start to turn this country around and start to put the drug dealers out of action and all the drug lords and all of this thing, and we start to have a campaign against alcohol and smoking and all of these other things. It's going to cause a tremendous wave. Are you ready for situations to come into your life? Interruptions. And then again, what spirit will you receive them in when they do? How will you react? Will you, like Jesus, trying to get a little peace and quiet after a long year and a half, steady 20-hour days, no place to lay his head, will you welcome them when they interrupt your silence and your plans? I think the Christian under trouble doesn't break up, he breaks out. I guess if I say one thing here today and one word to remember is don't be manipulated. Don't be manipulated by the complainer or the evil questioner. Well, what do you think about this? Well, they want you to do the dirty work. What do you, I don't know, you're always so wise, and it seems like God, now this is a form of flattery, God speaks right through you, Sister Long Gowns, what's your reaction towards this? And they wait for you, that evil question, they wait for you to harm someone. Don't listen to it. If your job is preaching, or if your job is driving the truck, if your job is packing bags, pack the bags. If your job is cleaning floors, clean the floors. If your job is working in the kitchen, work in the kitchen and do it with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul without a whole lot of damnable questions. Are you hearing this message today? Do it with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And Mick, this is a good message for the corporate body, isn't it? Stop asking questions and causing stirs and manipulating people from behind the scene. Happens in companies, doesn't it? Manipulators until pretty soon every desk is empty. Who's behind that? What damnable spirit got in there? And boy, there's a lot of them, the Bible says, that have been loosed from the pit. I believe it. There's more hell stirring now on this planet than I can remember. More hell. There's no mercy and there's no forgiveness and there's no going on. It seems like everybody's out to shoot everybody else down. Doesn't it? And you know why it works so well? People are manipulated. They're manipulated by the God of big noise. Don't worry about Bigfoot. Worry about Big Mouth. Huh? We're going on a hunt. I think I hear a Big Mouth out there someplace. They're not up in the Himalaya Mountains either. They're right here in Minneapolis. Amen. A lot of them are right down here in the north side. Some are even politicians. Say amen, somebody. What a group. Say amen. I think we ought to straighten out people right away and say, hey, just do what you're going to do. You've been doing it for a long, long time. We aren't going to manipulate. We're just going to give the word out here. And we're going to cause change right within our own borders. You know what? We really don't even need you because you aren't going to do anything anyway. So 2 cents that we got is 2 cents more than you'd ever give us. So let's just get busy and make change right here. You don't have to have a whole lot of folks to make change. It starts right with you. If you ain't too ding dang lazy to get up off it. Say amen, somebody. You listen to this tape and you listen to this radio. It is the truth. You know what about the truth? The truth will set you free. I got up in a person's office the other day and started preaching just like I am right now. And, the guy pretty soon was almost under his desk. It's the truth. People just don't care for people. They do not care for people. They don't care for one another. I said, brother, the whole problem is here. Nobody wants to be a role model. All they want to be is a person with a suit on and the shoes on and the nice this and the nice that. And I says, for the most part, they manipulate their own people. Didn't say a whole lot. Didn't say a whole lot because you know what? Hey, it is the truth. But then again, we all in some measure, we can't really judge. We can't cast the first stone because we're all guilty. Just about every one of those characters we went through, and there's a few more to go through. Every one of them that we've went through over the past 6-7 weeks, we can put ourselves in some measure with those groups. They need help. But if we don't do anything, we're the ones that need it. When we have the truth and we don't use the truth, there is something definitely wrong with us. It's like we have the medicine and we're dying of cancer, but we don't take the medicine. Okay, that's all I have to say. Who is going to sing today? Great. Now, if you get this tape today, folks, go on out and give it away, preferably to somebody out in the suburbs someplace. Not that they're the only ones that need to hear it. But then again, hey, come on.
Thank you for joining the Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 23, The Politician. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I hope you will call me on our audio comment line. That number is 1-715-808-0318, or send me your comments, questions, and suggestions to janine@pastorpaul.org. Comments are live at the blog. Send me a comment. Go to the blog, which is www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com, and post a comment. We'll post it with the show notes at the blog. Be sure to visit www.pastorpaul.org. At the top, you will see the interactive link bar, and it will link you to the pastorpaul.org community. Join the community. You'll see the blog, Flickr, podcast, the store, and Twitter. Each week, we make posts to the blog. Flickr, we'd love to have you join Flickr. We can upload your photos to our Flickr group. The podcast is aired every Friday. Subscribe to the podcast at the blog, and the feed will send the podcast to you. Be sure to visit the store, Pastor Paul's Club. Look for some gifts for people you love. There's a lot there, and we're coming up with more all the time. Check the updates on Twitter to let you know what's happening with me and Pastor Paul. Until next week, God bless you, and have a great week. Bye now. So if you tell a tea.